Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Excellent participation at the beginning. That's what we like. I'm going to carry on this morning with the sermon series that Joel started a couple of weeks ago on looking at growing in God's heart, using the statements that Jesus used. The kingdom of God is like something. And we're going to use the founding principles of everything we want to be has to be lined up with the priorities of the Lord. And to truly get to know that person, the Lord, we need to spend time with him and find out what's important to him. As we draw near and learn the heart of the king, he becomes the king of our hearts. So our top priority this year is to grow in discipleship, growing closer together and growing closer to Jesus. If you want the full introduction, please go to our YouTube site or our website, and there will be a fuller introduction and the rest of the series for you to watch. Before I go further, I just want to pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We do just pray that your word will reach, your kingdom will extend this morning because of your word being preached. Amen. So, Joel spoke to us last week about parable in the Greek, parable, and then parabola in the Latin, which is where we get the word parable from. And Joel talked about a curved wall where you throw a ball and it goes round. I have no sport in my life, but I do. If you don't know, I work in theatre. I teach backstage sound and lighting. So I thought I'd bring a parabola from my world. This is a par can. P-A-R. Sorry, not enough hands. P-A-R. This is a parabolic, there's that word, angled reflector light. Parabolic angle reflector can. And what this does is there's a light bulb inside of here, and rather than the light going out in all directions, that curved mirrored surface changes how the light behaves and shoots it out in a straight line. This isn't actually a par can. This is a smaller version. They're quite big. I wasn't going to bring one with me. And because this is a smaller one, this is actually called a birdie because it's one under par. There's a joke for the golfers there. Actual true story. That's a birdie, and that's the reason. So, just like the parabola that Joel described, the light takes that curve and shoots it straight. Parable from the Greek comes from para and bola, bole actually. Para meaning alongside, and bole meaning throwing, or in the case of our light here, that would be casting. So, in terms of my theatre light, it makes a very straight beam because all of the light gets reflected in that straight line. If you like to think of it this way, parable is a long metaphor. So this light thing is a metaphor. But if I told you a story about plugging the light in, pointing it in the right direction to illuminate something, that could be described as a parable, a long metaphor. If you've been around church for a little while, you might know that parables are easy to understand. You know, you've got the prodigal son, you've got the lost sheep, the wheat and the weeds that Joel talked about a few weeks ago. And if that is your attitude, you might find Jesus' words in Mark 4 a bit of a struggle, where he says, Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. So, if you've been around for a while, you might think, how did the parable, the Pharisees, not understand the parables? Sheep is lost, pick up sheep, bring sheep back to kingdom. Makes sense. So, let's have a look at today's parable. If you're up for it and can read, I'm so sorry. If you can see the screen well and want to read along, please do. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, and a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it was worked all through the dough. Right. Maybe I do see where the Pharisees are coming from sometimes. It's not that clear to me sometimes when we look at that and go, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Right, good. Sorry, Joel, I've stolen your slide from a couple of weeks ago. And just change two words, because in this case, we do not have the advantage with this particular parable of the interpretation being nicely laid out for us. So let's dive in and find out what Jesus means here. I'm going to start with the obvious question, what is yeast? Yeast is a microscopic fungus consisting of single of ovular cells that reproduce by budding. They're capable of converting sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. Some would suggest that yeast was the first domesticated organism, which is quite cool. Forget your pets. Yeast is where it's at. I should imagine we all know what yeast does. If you don't, I think the name gives it away. Saccharomyces cerevisiae. Obviously, if you speak Latin, you know what that means. It means the one who eats sugar. So yeast feeds on sugar in the flour and breathes out carbon dioxide to give that bread that nice airy texture that we know and love. It's worth noting that the yeast you buy in shops is bigger. You see these little balls, but actually that's thousands of yeasts, if that's the plural, gathered together and dried out into those balls. Yeah, they're actually microscopic. You can't really see them. And if our yeast, however, is old or not in the right conditions, we get a loaf of bread like mine from 2 weeks ago where I hadn't checked the date on my yeast and it was a little bit old. So actually my bread didn't rise even a little bit. This is probably how big it should have been for reference. Do check the date on your yeast. Otherwise it won't work. But in the times that Jesus is talking about, they wouldn't have been able to go down to your local store, wherever that may be from, and get a packet of yeast. That wouldn't have been an option to them. What they would have done is they'd have taken the last batch of dough that they'd made for last week's bread or yesterday's bread, and they'd have saved a small amount of it with that precious yeast in it and used that for the next batch of bread. Some of us might kind of have a similar experience if we mess around with sourdough starters. I did put one on this week to see how fun it is. All you do is take flour and water, leave it out until the wild yeast that's just in the air gets into your flour mixture, and then that will take over that mixture. It's quite fun, worth doing. So they wouldn't have had that in those days. They'd have had yesterday's bread or yesterday's dough mixed in. It's worth noting that not everywhere in Scripture, in fact, most other places in Scripture, yeast and leaven are not described as good. Jesus and Paul use them to describe bad things. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it describes boasting and also malice and wickedness are compared to yeast. Even in this same book we're looking at today, Matthew, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees' teaching being like yeast as a bad thing. So why then is Jesus using it to describe the kingdom of God, something which I hope we would agree is a good thing? And I think one of the reasons is because God's kingdom is upside down. Like the parables are hidden, God's kingdom is an upside down one where it prioritizes the lost, the hurting, the hungry, the momentum, yes, all of the what they were just describing. That's God's kingdom. It's one that if we look at the values of the people around us, they don't always line up with what God's values are. We're called to be different in this world. Blaud. Flour. So she takes 60 pounds, which is about 27.215 kilograms. I don't know why I said about. It's 27.215 kilograms. That is about 54 loaves of bread worth. That's a lot of bread. One commentator says that this is probably enough to feed 100 people. So in this word, in this passage, oh, sorry, there's a picture of some flour. In this word picture, yeast is representing God's kingdom, the domain of God, where his will reigns. We read in Revelation of God's coming kingdom, which sounds like it's going to be announced in a very quick and obvious fashion. Whereas what we're talking about here is the yeast, comparatively slow, very unannounced. So I'm going to suggest that we're looking at God's kingdom as Jesus describes it in our midst, in this age. So this parable is looking to explain how God's kingdom expands through us. So, I'm going to take out a couple of the words from this parable. So, he told them, still another parable, the kingdom of God, heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So, we have the flour representing the world, and especially the world that she is in contact with. It's how she acts and it's spread to the people that we are in contact with. We can't necessarily interact with people we don't interact with. There we are. It's a great point. Her actions are what caused the yeast to spread. Her actions are what caused the kingdom to spread. It's worth noting, last week we looked at the mustard seed, and the man went out and sowed the mustard seed. I think it could be obvious to you, but I think it's worth noting that we had a man sowing the mustard seed and a woman is now working this dough. I want to be plain that we see it a lot in Jesus, the way he operates. His heart is that his work is done by people of both genders. And just like the mustard seed that started in a small, it became one of the biggest trees. This yeast is even smaller than a mustard seed and works its way through the whole world, through the whole kingdom. I was at a conference last weekend, which was just great, for children and youth workers. And one thing that was said is that God does not need you to spread his kingdom. He can do it without you. But he delights in using you to extend his kingdom. So what does this woman do to advance the kingdom? First, she takes. Possibly first from a sourdough starter. She takes knowledge that may have been passed on to her from previous generations, from the word of scripture, but also from teachers and those who have come before. When we become followers of Christ, his kingdom comes and lives inside of us. But without the right conditions, it will not flourish. By taking this yeast, by taking those teachings, we should seek and put into practice what God is calling us to do. Which brings me on to mixing. She took and she mixed. We need to actually practice those things that God is calling us to. Those things that he's asked you, would you go? If we don't knead this dough, if we don't build up the gluten inside it, we're not fulfilling what God wants us to do. I'm going to add a third word in here, which is not in scripture, but I've baked bread. I know what you have to do. The next thing you do is you wait. You have to let the dough rise. You have to let the yeast permeate through the whole dough. And I think you have to not just wait passively. We're talking about the effectiveness of the kingdom becoming more potent by the cultivation of that yeast. If yeast is left alone in the wrong conditions, too cold or without the right nutrients, it will go cold and it will die. So it's important that we stay in fellowship with Christians, that we are actively seeking God through his Bible in times of prayer. Not in a kind of legalistic or forceful fashion, but actually it's about falling in love. There's a song that I misquoted the author of in the first service, Jason Gray rather than Josiah Queen. Jason Gray has got a song that says, "This should be more like falling in love than having something to believe in." It's like if you're in a relationship or a marriage, you don't have to go to dinner with that person. You don't have to go on walks. You don't have to spend any time with them at all to be married. But the marriage is much better if you do, I would say. So it's also worth noting that if given the wrong nutrients or the wrong condition, this yeast, actually maybe mold would grow. So it's about us and what we are feeding ourselves. Inside your gut, there is a microbiome, one of my favorite things to talk about. And the microbiome, it communicates with your brain. There's lots of bacteria that live inside you, and as you feed it various foods, the bacteria that like those foods will grow stronger, and you will want more of that food. I think if we're feeding our hearts, the same thing happens. If we're watching things that are inappropriate, we will become desensitized and want more of that thing. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. And that makes sense. We need to make sure that we're guarding our hearts. In Philippians, Paul says it like this. Philippians 4:8. Sorry, it's not on the screen. I only just wrote it down. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think it's important that we give our hearts that right condition so that we can be more effective in the kingdom. It's also worth noting that it's only after the bread has been baked that we really get to see the true flavor of that yeast profile. Only when we've been through trials or are going through trials do we really see the evidence of our hearts. How do you react to situations when you're late for work? How do you act when everything seems to be going wrong? It's only in the fire we really see the kingdom on side of us. But we don't see every single change. The yeast works in an invisible way, growing until it's becoming evident in our life. So it's worth making sure that we are taking stock every now and then. Where are we at? Are we growing good yeast, or are we growing moldy in the corner? So, to summarize into part, we know that yeast and mold both have the ability to grow slowly. There are big signs that show us where we're at, and little signs that show us where we're going. Described as a lamp to our feet and a word to our path is the Bible. So we need to keep track of where we are. Check in with God every now and then. Maybe every day would be a good idea. So God is working even when we don't see it. Those things that you're praying for, those people you're thinking of, God is working through those situations for good, even when you don't see it. So if it all feels a little bit flat or hopeless, take comfort in the fact that God is working like the yeast in the dough. Take the right nutrition. What we give our attentions to needs to be right. As I say, not in a prescriptive or a legalistic fashion. One of the things that was said at this conference was we need to Sabbath rebelliously, not because the law says we have to take a day off, but actually because it's good for us. God wants us to grow in those good patterns and those good disciplines, and in a way that is rebellious, that is actually standing up to the ways of the world and saying, no, actually, I don't want to only live for money. I don't need to do that. I can trust God for everything I have, and that means I can take a day off. The yeast in our hearts is activated by the warmth, I think, of our personal times with God. So let's make sure we are taking those times seriously. Have you read the Bible today, this week, this month? Have you spent good time in prayer? Again, it's not about the recipe will be a magic concoction that allows us to have a better life. It's about spending time with God, and he will develop in us that yeast of the kingdom. And sometimes we just need to make sure we're taking hold and mixing in God's calling into our life. So as we finish, I just want to encourage us to make sure that we are in the right place with God and actually developing those good times so that we can reach out to the people around us. The youth conference, in fact, the entire youth theme for this year is breakout, as Joel has said, about getting out of our comfort zones and speaking to the people around us, making sure we are in communion with our friends in a way that allows them to have this yeast spread to them. So I'd love to pray for us as we finish about putting the kingdom of God into our lives in a real way. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you that you are with us and you are teaching us all something through your word. Father, I just pray in this very moment, would you bring to our minds the things that you would want us to put into practice, how we can better the conditions for this yeast of the kingdom to grow. Father, I pray as we leave this place, would we know that you are stronger in us. And Father, I just pray for our friends and the people we interact with. Would you allow us to be good bread for those people? Father, that we would show the kingdom of heaven in the way we act and the way that we show love to them. And Father, I pray, would you help us to not just have a doctrine that we believe in, but Lord, would you help us to fall in love with who you are? And Father, as we go through our lives, everything we do would be a reflection of your principles because of our love for you. And Father, we just pray a blessing over each of us at this time. Amen.